Good morning.
We have Carlos Ignacio Gallego, Group President of Grupo Nutresa, José Domingo Penagos, Vice President of Corporate Finance, and Santiago Escobar, Director of Corporate Finance. My name is Catherine Chacon, Director of Investor Relations. Thank you very much for accompanying us. After presenting the results for the first quarter of the year, we'll have a question and answer session. The questions that we receive through the webcast will be read verbatim. Anyone who is connected to the conference via telephone in English, we would appreciate it if you ask your questions using the webcast. If you want to follow the slides in Spanish, because by defect they are in English over the webcast, you can download them from the screen of the platform. Those who ask questions, please ask, say your name and the organization you represent. I'll give you the floor to Carlos Ignacio Gallego, President of Grupo Nutresa, to start this presentation. Good morning. Thank you for being with us to this conference of results. To start, I'd like you to go to slide number two, where we will start with by commenting some interesting events for the period. First of all, and according to the information given to the market on March 3, 2019, we'll tell you that Grupo Nutresa may enter into an agreement to buy 51% of Atlantic Food Service SAS. Atlantic is a leading company in the food service, institutional food service in Colombia. It delivers the best products such as seafood, fish, etc., and with operations in most major cities in Colombia, Bogotá, Medellín, Cartagena, Barranquilla, Cali, Cúcuta, and Bucaramanga. It is a company with an excellent level of service. It's a strategic ally for our clients in food service. With this investment, we want to have a greater share in the food service business, which is a very dynamic channel, driven by a consumption of catering foods. This is all the information I'll give you right now because we're waiting for the processes to be completed before the Superintendence of Industry and Trade. Now, going to slide number three, we'd like to tell you that according to Monitor Empresarial Corporate Reputation, Merco, in its social responsibility and corporate governance version, Grupo Nutresa is the most socially responsible company and holds the best corporate governance standards in Colombia. For the first time since this scale was or rating was launched in 2011, we achieved this position. The process makes this evaluation of the ratings of Colombian companies and rates them along 15 areas: ethics, transparency, good governance, responsibility with its employees, and commitment to the environment. This is a distinction that shows our efforts for maintaining these high standards of responsibility and corporate governance. And thirdly, slide number four shows about International Reporting Standards 16 and our financial reports. Thank you very much. As you all know, as of January the 1st this year, the financial statements of Grupo Nutresa and all companies are reflecting this new standard for reporting, which is the IFRS 16. We have no changes in revenue, and the rest will be a little more for comparability of our profit levels. I'm going to use a couple of slides, 4 and 5, to tell you about the changes both in the balance sheet and the P&L. And during the year, we'll have a two-column analysis with and without the international standards to facilitate a comparison. Also, in practical terms, very, very unique that the standard for release agreements with some characteristics, especially the durations of more than 12 months, are similar to the the ownership of those assets and the lease of ownership. That's why we have a couple of accounts in the financial statements about these leases, which are different from discount of the value of those future leases. That is what we would have to pay in the market if we were going to purchase those assets through loans. So the first effect of this is both, it doesn't make any difference between operating and financial leases. In the account and the balance sheet, we have a new item called right of use assets in our case for an amount of 934,900 million pesos. Mainly, this is the present value of the leases for our food business in some assets like vehicles and machinery, but the main item is the property for our units. The impact on the assets is 6.29%. If we add to the assets to this first quarter, we increase that by 6.39%. Also in the liabilities, we have an account for exactly the same amount, 934,000 million pesos, which is between the right-of-use liabilities and some non-current provisions, because we have to remember that the standard requires a dismantling of some assets in the future. This would be for the liabilities of 18%. This is the effect then of the balance sheet. On slide number 4, what happens with the PNG, the P&L? So this becomes a financial expense. So we continue to record that lease as an operating expense, but since it is an asset, it is shown in the depreciations for the use of that asset. And in the operating expense, we have that financial expense associated with that debt. And for illustration purposes, we show you a table with some numbers. For the first quarter in our financial statements, those lease expenses are 37,000 million Colombian pesos. They just reclassified, and the right of use depreciation is 27,680 million pesos. So this increases the depreciations. So this affects our operating profits, which is an increase of 9,300 million pesos. Since there's a financing, we have an interest rate of 15,600 million pesos and a net effect on profits, final profits of 6,200 million pesos. So these are the numbers related to this new standard. But I would like to highlight that the option of the IFRS 16 is a reclassification of some financial assets in financial operations in EBITDA, but we don't affect the free cash flow or the returns or the real financial debt of the company. That's quite very important to have always the comparability. You use the information in two columns and have the pro forma figures, especially during this first year of application. This is a very general bird's eye view explanation, but all the information is up to date in our valuation kit in the investor relations office, which will be with you all year, showing you that comparability. When we present the financial information, you'll see the information in two columns, and I will go into more details. This is a very general explanation. I'll give the floor now to the president to continue with the presentation. So let's now go to slide number 6 to start with the business results for the period. We had in Colombia sales for 1,480,200 million pesos with a growth of 4.6%. There's the result of good business dynamics during the first quarter of the year. As you can see, with except of the coal cuts business, which has a little decrease because of lower sales, all businesses have positive behaviors. That growth of 4.6% consists of a 3.3% increase in volume and 1.3% increase in higher value on average prices, especially because of changes in the sales mix. Here I would point out the growth of pasta, chocolates, and biscuits, which grow above the group average and which are driven mainly by volume. When we look outside of Colombia at international sales reported, we reported growth in our main foreign platforms in their local currencies. We had sales for $267,000.3 million with a growth of 0.8% in dollars and 10.5% in Colombian pesos. As a result of a devaluation of the average rate of exchange vis-a-vis the dollar of 9.6%. By business, we report a growth in TMLC of 5% in their functional coin currency, but we include the devaluation of the Chilean pesos vis-a-vis the dollar, we see a decrease in 5.2% in dollars. Biscuits had a good dynamics. The operation in Central America and the U.S. in local currencies, the devaluation of local currencies in Central America was less. Chocolates continues with good results in terms of volumes, both in international platforms and in exports from Colombia, with a growth of 8.2%. In coffee, we have a better dynamics in sales in dollars, especially because we have greater exports to the U.S. With respect to the retail food operations, we have a good growth in local currencies with devaluations in some 6.6% in Costa Rica and 3.4% in Dominican Republic, which make this figure in dollars to be a little impacted. In the cold cuts, we had a decrease of 13.2% in dollars, mostly due to lower exports of fresh meat from Colombia. This sales report, international sales report, as we know, is includes all the cross evaluation rates in which the dollar figures are somewhat affected, but when we take into Colombian pesos are pretty good. With respect to total sales, going now to slide number 7. As a result of a positive behavior in Colombia and in our international operations, we report consolidated sales of 2,245,700,000,000 pesos for the period, with a growth of 6.7%. And with the exception of cold cuts, all business units grew during the first quarter of 2019. It's important also to point out that the innovation sales during the first quarter represented 22.2% of total sales. It's still a very significant driver, this innovation for the company growth. If we want to look at these sales, total sales by region in slide number 8, we can see how our operations outside of Colombia is relevant to our income structure. And it's 28.7% in our sales, and in all regions has a good positive dynamics. We highlight the growth of our platforms in Central America and the Caribbean, the United States, Mexico, and Peru. In their order, we see Colombia first place with 62.7%. The second one is Central America with 9.7% of total sales. And in the United States, we have U.S. and Chile at the same level with 8.4%. With respect to our position in the market, we want to tell you that we're carrying out with Hilton the market share measurement process to reflect our multi-channel strategy that we have in Grupo Nutresa and the changes we're making in our businesses we're participating. We have been telling you how some new players that were not being measured and some old channels in the alternative areas such as Novaventa or the vending machines that were not being measured either. So while we generate that study and we define how we are going to be reporting those in the future, we will continue to tell you what is the position that we hold in each one of those relevant markets so that in general we maintain a competitive situation which is highly active in the region, in Colombia, as you can see. In the cold cut business, we have our private brands, in the second place. There are not many major dominant ones. There are many, several small brands, and we have some local or national brands. In Chile, we have a very aggressive competition, and that's perhaps a market that is being seeing high number of offers. It's very dynamic. We continue to be very active, and we will continue to invest in the market because these positions are the result of what we do. And in our case, the investment in strengthening the channel will continue to be significant. With respect to raw materials and now going into profitability issues, so we have the commodities index of Nutresa is calculated in dollars. For the first quarter of 2019, the index is lower than the average for the previous year, mainly because of lower international reference prices of commodities such as sugars and oils. But it's important to remember that the local prices of those raw materials do not exactly follow this behavior, because in some markets, such as Colombia, there are price stabilization funds, or which sure leads to different prices locally. Besides, the rate of exchange increases our final cost of these raw materials in the platforms. But this has a favorable trend. The most significant cost is packing materials with 7.5%. And in this period, we have coffee, pork, and wheat. At Grupo Nutresa, we have raw materials, and its volatility is one of the things that we consider one of the main risks of the business, and for that we have some hedging strategies. And when the situation in the market allows us to have some significant advantages, we can also have some physical inventories. But the index during the period has a favorable trend. Now let's go to listen to José Domingo Penagos, who will talk about the profit issues. Let's go to slide number 11 to analyze the profits for the period. These are the but in each size we can see a comparative because without the IRF standards, and I will be referring to each one of the cases in each business unit so as not to lose the comparability. But in general, the EBITDA margin for the period, it's one of the few figures that I'm going to compare, is 14.3%, which is 320,000 million pesos. But when we do the comparison, we're talking about 283 million pesos with a margin of 12.3% and with a growth of 3.6% compared to the same period or the first period in the previous year. We have some mixed results in most cases, very positive, each with its own dynamics. And for example, let's start with the business, biggest business, which is the cold coach, lowered commercial dynamics. We saw that earlier, and that affects our EBITDA margin during the period. We're reporting a margin of 11.9 with a reduction of 3.57%. Some challenges in proteins, but we've got hedges for the year. This is a business which, although it has something in dollars because of Panama and some exports of fresh meat, the main impact is the rate of exchange. And it has a slight revaluation during the first quarter, and the year-to-date is significant, a devaluation of 2.2% in this year, but for the year, it's a 14% devaluation. This impact has a significant significance in the cost. Then we have the biscuits. We have a margin and a size, a very positive growth. We have some pressure with respect to dollars, but it's very well covered for wheat. We have a good business performance, very good mix in revenues and expenses in dollars. We represent here a profitabilization of the business with the mixes, the innovations. I refer to the biscuits and chocolate, and also in the subcategories, we have very good profits. We have very good mix and very good behavior in the biscuits. And we compare this to chocolate because it's very well balanced with respect to rate of exchange. Cocoa is also well covered. We don't have historical minimal levels like wheat, but we are at very good hedge levels, and this allows us to have a very significant margin, almost 16%, which is the highest for the group and above the average for the entire group, which also a good balance in the mix of categories, in the mix of its subcategories in the market. Very good dynamics. TMLC goes at 13.3, very balanced, very sound, and we have a business challenge, but we have very good productivity plans that we've presented here earlier, and this has a very solid growth dynamics. The dynamics of sales, international sales, improved during this period, but the pressure of cost remains. We have the difference between the international cost and the local cost of the raw material. We have sources from other origins, but the impact has been especially significant on the cost, and this is reflected in its EBITDA margin. We have the retail food business. We have a good recovery of profits. The margin is 13.6%. We have good income dynamics, both in Colombia and in Central America and in Dominican Republic operations. We have very good growth with that margin, 21%. Some productivity plans which already are in place, managing the category mixes for the products and in the different geographies, and that allows us to gradually recover. But I would also say that this is sound in this retail food for this period and for the rest of the year. We have very good control of the expenses. This gives us a 12.6% EBITDA margin, but very good growth compared to the previous year, an expansion of the margin and a growth of which is almost double digit. And finally, the pasta business unit, where obviously 12.7% margin and a double digit growth, the EBITDA 12% shows a very balanced situation in this business. So, and I refer to the category mix, but this is a common denominator in pastas. You can see that very significantly. It's much healthier, this revenue balance, a very good expense control. It's also affected by the rate of exchange. Very good levels of coverage with wheat. It's very sound and very well balanced situation for pastas. You see that in the P&L, which shows the EBITDA, and it's reflected also in the returns and in the free cash flow for this unit. That is the summary of profits of the EBITDA for my business unit. This allows us to show the P&L, which we show you in slide number 12, which is a statement of results. With the structure for better comparisons, we have two columns. As I said, in the columns we have, in the shaded ones, you can see the effect without the IRD. All these financial statements have their notes, the explanations, and you can see the links to those notes. The operating results, growth of 6.7% in income. The cost increases more than the revenue, 7.3%. The main impact is the rate of exchange. I was referring earlier to the devaluation year-to-date, which affects the cost of close to 54% of our cost, our dollar index. So it helps us with the revenue, but it impacts more our cost. That's why we had a loss of 40 base points during the period. How do we manage this? Both management costs and sales expenses are very well controlled and low growth. They grow less than the revenue, and this allows us to show a more controlled operating income, which grows around 9.3% compared to 2019. Some smaller events because of the changes in operating exchanges, some lower or other income, a one-time revenue which is not repeated, some sales of fixed assets, which are smaller numbers, but the important thing here is expense control, which allows us to have that 9.3% of operating income, which is 220 million Colombian pesos. I used all the items to explain this. From the middle down, you have a good performance in financial expenses. How comparable, without assigning this liability or the effect of the interest of on the right of use, we have 28.8%. We have the benefits in the structure of the financing or the capital structure of the group. We have variable rates that have been used as the reference rates have gone down. Pretty no debt in dollars. It's growth about 2.5%, but it is covered, so the exposure of our debt in dollars is nil, zero practically. We have a comparability issue for dividends because of our investment, especially in Grupo Argos. You remember that their assembly was in April, this year is in March. So it's a comparability issue. Both Grupo Sur and Grupo Sur grew 6.2% and 6.7% respectively. That gives us very good growth in that line. And as an effect on the operating effects and lower non-operating expenses, we're talking about the middle line down, we have some profits before taxes of 42%. But we do the pro forma with the effect of the dividends from Grupo Argos, and we have a net profit for the first quarter of 180,000 million pesos, 180,600, growing 49.5% without the effect of the Grupo Argos. The group from Nutresa grew 6.3%, very sound. The rate of tax rate improves. These dividends are non-taxable, and this has an effect on the rate. And the last slide for finances, slide number 13, which is my last one, we show you the debt level, which is a result of what we mentioned earlier, a debt of 2.6 million pesos, Colombian pesos, with an indicator of 2.32 times adjusted with all the effects of IRB 16. This is what we ended in December 2018, but it's lower than March 2018. And why do I make this comment? Because in the first conference of each year, we also that the cash flow in Grupo Nutresa is cyclical, and it has, this first quarter has a significant intensity in working capital, in taxes, and labor expenses, which make this heavier in the, less with the CapEx that reported for the period. Investment is 32,200 million pesos compared to 266,000 budgeted, but we covered, remember, financial and physical coverage. So we have a significant event advantage. This is a little higher than previous years as we generate the cash flows for the next quarters, so it's very controlled. This would be the end of my section on EBITDA, cash flows, and returns, which, as you can also see, the information we also increased. The ROI improved to 9.7%, and I'll give the floor to Carlos Ignacio to tell us his visions, his outlook for 2019. Thank you, Jose Domingo. Now, with respect to the outlook for the rest of this 2019, I'd like to refer first of all to the commercial issue. Grupo Nutresa, we are forecasting for the rest of the year a positive dynamic both in Colombia and outside. I would point out that we're going to be highly active in innovation. We have a pipeline of projects in every geography, which will allow us to be very active. Secondly, the issues that have to do with channel development, we're going to be working on that also. We're destined appointing talent and investments to strengthen our channels. We've always said that Grupo Nutresa hopes to be the best ally, the best supplier of all channels, and we don't see channels as enemies, but rather we have the challenge of building some different value offers for those channels. Third, the breadth of categories in our geographies will also be a significant task. And the combination of these aspects, we believe, will allow us to have a positive dynamic. The biggest geography, which is Colombia, what we see is controlled inflation. The rate of exchange is somewhat higher and a little more volatile. But so far, it is not something that would it would mean that we should stop there. The behavior of the channels is favorable, so that with our capabilities at Grupo Nutresa, we can grow. I was mentioning Chile, that it's a market that has a large number of offers, but we're moving there. One of the characteristics of Nutresa is knowing how to manage turbulent and changing environments. If things change, those capabilities help, if they change not only for Nutresa, but for all our competitors too. So the rate of exchange, I would like to mention that the competitors we have in markets where we operate as locals change that competitiveness balance, and sometimes it helps us. And in those markets where we're bigger, we have production platforms, and that is a very significant factor. So we are positive vis-a-vis the commercial or business dynamics for the rest of the year. With respect to our profit, we're going to continue working on our efficiency and productivity programs. I didn't mention it specifically, but the returns on investment have been improving. They continue to improve with respect to commodities. The index is favorable. I think that in the future, perhaps the one that has the it requires a lot of attention is pork, where there are alarms that have to do with some diseases, especially in China, and that might make this commodity continue to increase. But we have good coverage there. We have our own farms and alliances with third-party farms in Colombia and Panama, and we are well prepared to face this issue. Besides, if the impact on the pork would affect chicken and beef, which are substitutes usually used around the world, our strategy with some integration with beef might help us. This is something to watch out for, but we are looking at it very carefully. As we told you in the previous conference, that at the end of 2018 we had assumed some physical positions in coffee and cocoa, which it makes this a topic that deserves attention, but we're optimistic about our outlook for commodities for the rest of the year. If we add to good management of commodities and efficiency and productivity, we add the discipline in expense controls, what will we say for our outlook for profitability is that it will continue to be good for the rest of the year and will improve our return on investment. That is the outlook that we see both in terms of commercial and profits. I'd like to give the floor to Catherine to go to our Q&A. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. We'll now start our question and answer session. So far, we don't have any questions through the webcast, so we'll give the floor to the questions through the audio in the teleconference. Thank you for your attention. We'll start the question and answer sessions. Anyone who has a question, please push asterisk and then number one in your phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift your earpiece before pushing the button. If you have a question, push start one before. First question comes from Mr. Andres Soto from Santander. Good morning, Catherine, Carlos Ignacio, Santo Domingo. Thank you for your presentation. Two questions, both related to the implementation of the international reporting standards. When I compare margins pre and post the reporting standards, there's a 9 percentage point difference because it's explained because of the lease paid for the the number is pretty high. How are those lease agreements established? Because it's a high percent of sales, and is there a possibility for the numbers to be lowered? Yeah, that number is what you just mentioned. We are continuing to manage the percentage, the leases, especially those mainly in Colombia, are significant. The cost of leases in Colombia are high, a little less in Central America, less in Dominican Republic, but that is the financial structure in a business in which you don't own the real estate. And this is to give you was 9%. That could be between 9% and 10%. These are long-term data, mostly around 10 years. And in the future, they will do management, not only because of the sales, but because we are going to look for better lease agreements, better costs, and we have a lower percent of sales. But that, due to the real estate structure, the way we lease business property in Colombia, and that's very true what you just mentioned. Thank you, Jose Domingo. The second question is about the structural margin for the company. In the past, you said that the profit level should be between 12% and 14%, but we changed the accounting structure. We see that the profit levels, the structural levels, is higher than that, at least by 1 percentage point. Would there be also a change in the profit target? I'll take that question. And we restarted this conference by in the introduction we spoke about the IRFE 16, because this is beginning to affect all companies around the world. And what is happening is that we're looking through another lens this business. Indeed, in every company, with their peculiarities, these international reporting standards are going to show the results of the company in another way, but the result of the company is the same inside. We have been complementing the EBITDA, which is a profitability indicator, with indicators that have to do with return on investment and with flow, because as mentioned by Jose Domingo, our cash flow is not affected. And if you can see, when I was speaking about the outlook, I deliberately didn't talk about EBITDA, but about returns, because that is what actually the business should produce for all investors. What is going to happen is that when we review the plan as of 2022, very likely we are going to be continuing to look for growth, but we're going to also look for returns. We're not sure yet of whether we should re-express this corridor. If we were to do that, it would have to go up, because it should be up at a higher level, each company, depending on the way which they structure the business, and which they have more or less leases, must re-express those results. So that is why in these earlier stages, we're going to dedicate a lot of attention to comparability. Because this doesn't become good or bad because of the international reporting standard. It's a different way to look at the business. But it is our obligation to look for productivity and better terms of our lease agreement. And this allows us to better manage all the assets that you have under leases. Thank you for your questions, because it allows us to make this comment. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Thank you, Andres. The next question from Mr. Felipe Ucro from Scotiabank. Thank you for your time for questions. I'd like to focus on a trend that we've been observing. This is two quarters with significant improvements in operating leveraging and expenses growing less than sales, and that's improving our margins, although there has been a little pressure on the revenue. What are the processes and the changes that you're doing internally to improve our leveraging? And the second question that I had is, could you give us some words, more details about what's happening in chocolates? Because it's been two or three years with the EBITDA pretty high up, and that the trend has to do a lot of with the commodity, which cacao is a little lower. So than six years ago, but I think that the EBITDA has been incredible, and I'd like to know whether we can have some comments that can give us an idea of what the reasons are there. I know that you've done a little cross-fertilization, but I'd like to find out whether there's a little bit more. Yes, Felipe. I'll take the first, and Carlos Inés will talk about the second question about chocolates. We'll talk about the productivity. This entire sense of this concept is applied to all business units, the structures, the mix. I refer to the mix, the management, both in the revenues and the expenses. A very significant focus on the returns of, we have a consulting, and we look at each project that we're going to go into the market with the productivity that those expenses might produce. And this is a more general answered. It's been applying, applied in all the businesses. The other idea is volume. With several quarters, as the volume has been picked up, been picking up, that improvement in the reduction in fixed expenses is important. That has been going down and it shows improved returns, better internal management, and the an idea of the concept of returns, and the volume is from leveraging or diluting the fixed expenses. And the volume is the main driver of those dimensions. No, I mentioned it in the second place. It's not small. It's very significant. But there's also an idea of efficiency when we go out into the market as how we distribute each of those expenses is and how what the return is for each one. So it's the first is the concept of productivity and then the concept of volume. But it's a very well-balanced concept. Felipe, and with respect to the business, chocolate business, it's very, very solid, a very good performance, and I'd say that there are several things that support those results. First of all, it has an extremely powerful innovation. It has allowed us to compete with global actors. We have no problems in its presence in the market, and where in Colombia it's grown in its share, and their regions like Central America became leaders. We weren't leaders, and now we are the leaders, for example, in chocolate bars and snacks. So this is an important innovation where we have used some opportunities. We found outside of Colombia some needs that our other actors hadn't seen, and that we've been able to capitalize on them, and growth has been really significant. Secondly, you mentioned that something is the cross-fertilization. I would say that it's been very successful what we've done in nuts and what we are doing also in chocolate bars and snacks. And I would, in nuts, I would say that the difference is that what we did in Colombia, we're doing it 10 times faster than in outside of Colombia. And we're taking advantage of that snacks experience, health snacks, or with a healthier profile. And what we've been able to do is only the tip of the iceberg, because there are many more things on the way. Third, I would say that over the past several years, we managed to have high profitability for the operations outside of Colombia. Previously, Mexico and Peru were platforms that helped growth, but which had lower than average profit levels, and now sometimes they've been going even above the level, the average. In Mexico, part of that is has to do with using the synergies with VMLC that we have announced since we purchased it, and that we are seeing them increasingly. And in Peru, some issues also of synergy, where we have some products such as the drinks from TMLC, which like Zuru, which is very strong in the summer, and there are complemented to our products, which are strong in the winter. So this helps us a strong synergy. We've improved our distribution and our improvement in Peru and Costa Rica also. Costa Rica, we have more than 10 times the size of what it was when we made the purchase. Gives us a critical mass that helps the results. So I'd like to say that although the one business is doing well, we don't have to do the productivity and efficiency homework. If we add those factors, which are not luck, we've been working on that. If we add to that a critical look and a look of making investments where they will produce the best results for the market and for the shareholders, we are getting this virtuous circle in chocolates. We're going to have a very good year for chocolate. we want to be bigger in outside of Colombia, and we're making an effort. And I would say that those results for chocolates are that good, in spite of the fact that we're investing a lot of, outside of Colombia. So in the market, so there's room to have a very, very flourishing business. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for your question. Can I ask a follow-up about consumer foods? Well, we have an improvement margin. We've seen a lot of pressure from the investors about that. But over the past 4 quarters, the margin has been bouncing back. And it would be with less than 10, and now it's above 13. Could you give us a little idea about that? Yes, Felipe, thank you for your feedback, because it's very useful, and it agrees with what we've mentioned in our tours and in the talks with the investors. We have been making an effort to continue to strengthen our brands. At the end of the year, we had the divestment of two brands to be able to focus on the brands that we own and to strengthen the issue of Papa John's. We've been closing some stores that didn't have good returns and opening new ones, and looking at the balance that then has to exist between openings and remodelings, because in some cases the second remodelings have a very positive impact on sales. So I would say that is an important work front. The other thing is that in raw materials, remember that we had spoken about there's strong pressure for meat in Colombia over the past 10 years, and what we have saw is that there was some correction in the market for maybe where the partial integration that we have is also favorable. So this is a significant issue, and we feel that bounce back had to come about, and this is what we should be doing. The consumer food in Dominican Republic is very good. Business is very good, and that bounce back of profits also happened in ice cream in Central America. We had some weaker periods in periods. Thank you for your feedback, and we'll continue to pay attention to that. Thank you very much. Next question from Federico Perez from Bancolombia. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you for your presentation. I have a couple of questions. First, about the performance of sales in Colombia for the first quarter and the outlook for the rest of the year, which seems positive, especially for Colombia. The first month, the indicator was slightly hit. You have a very strong correlation because you have a good performance in sales. Could you give us a little bit about that information, whether the positive performance you were expecting for consumption in Colombia would be more explained by increases in volume or by price increases that you intend to make? And can you give us a little more information about coffee, which was the black sheep of the results in this, for the results of the quarter? You had explained previously that there is a difference between international cost of raw materials vis-a-vis the local cost, then it has put pressure on profits. But I also see that sales of coffee decreased significantly, 1.6% in prices. So can you tell us what the strategies you're using for that segment specifically to recover that business unit? Thank you very much. Of course. So let me go first to thank you for your presence in your conference. I'm going to go to the issue of the sales outlook and relate this to our consumer confidence. First of all, there are different indicators in Colombia. First of all, we have rater where you say that the you measure the household expenses, and what they show is that household expense spending has not been negative. Obviously, you have a gradual recovery, but that indicator is positive. And the confidence indices, like those measured by Telesarrollo, we have to look at them as just those investor confidence and there is the consumer confidence. There's two. So in these development indices are more predictive, and it's like a willingness to expect to spend. What we've seen is that in the first 3 months, the index with respect to the consumer has been recovering. I think that somehow this reflects the fact that we had some wage increases which were generous. The increase was very much higher than inflation, so part of the population received that positive flow in their income. It is true that investor confidence has had some volatility, and that you have to keep in mind that the investors play with other factors when they judge about different possible future investments. So in the fact that we have expenses that consumer spending is taking place, but there's a very major redistribution of the channels in Colombia. And that is why part of our strategy is, as I mentioned earlier, has to do with formulating value offers for each of those channels and being able to gain or to win there. There are no channels where we do not want to go. We want to be everywhere, and we want to be winners. For the future, our growth is going to be more based on the growth in volumes. The categories in Colombia have per capita consumption that is below the averages for other countries, which would say that there is room to develop the categories. And in addition, we have to try to improve our share. The price factor is always present, but we're doing very careful management. Obviously, wherever we can improve our profitability, we will. And that means, if that means moving the price not only up, but it can also be down in those conditions where some reduction in prices could bring about significant volume increases. So we're going to be active, not in every category. In some, we will make the adjustments that are most appropriate. But that's what we see with respect to consumer confidence. The first 3 months where the spending is higher than previous years, and where we have the possibility of capturing the higher income or high revenue, and ensure that we become preferred in all the channels where we participate. I mentioned that the comments about coffee in Colombia, we grew 4.4, and as you can see in slide number 6 of their presentation, that came from a 6% increase in volume and a decrease of 1/6 in prices. That is mainly due to a change in the sales mix, where we sold more roasted and ground coffee than what we grew in soluble coffee. So while ground and ground coffee is more kilos and with a lower average price, and that's really not the fact that we have decreased the prices. As far as only, so remember, there's only one reference that decreased prices, which was the stick, which is an individual serving in which is sold in lower income areas, and which is very, very massive, and went down from 150 pesos to 100 pesos per unit. But the specific situation, the answer is that it is due mostly to a higher growth of ground and roasted coffee. And I think that this answers your question, Federico, and thank you for being with us. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Thank you. One last question. Can you tell us in coffee what strategies are you using to mitigate that difference that you see is affecting our profit, especially between the cost of raw materials internationally and locally? As we mentioned earlier, in our commodities index for Grupo Nutresa, internationally one of the inputs that we see a favorable trend in is coffee. But I was already saying that those conditions are not always reflected in local markets. Specifically, we have to remember that coffee, there are several types of coffee, and that in Colombia, although the Excelso has been decreasing compared to the historical levels, there are other varieties different than that that have had significant increases. So what we've been doing is a combination. At the end of the last year, we said that we had some significant inventory positions, and in terms of innovation vis-a-vis the international markets, we're doing some very differentiated proposals, and we're using the production platforms in Chile and in Malaysia to attack those markets. This is resulting in the good results of the exports, which we told you about in this report. We're taking back those positions. What happens when the coffee goes down? The clients overseas expect a price benefit to be translated to them. And this is a long-term business. If we transfer to those increase in coffee for the international clients, you lose accounts that take a long time to get back. So we have to keep a balance, take care of the business future, work a lot of on productivity and efficiency, and work on those hedges to be able to improve the levels. Now, with respect to the global results for Grupo Nutresa, the advantage of having a business portfolio is that you have other businesses in more flourishing situations, which allows us to adjust those mixes and recover the levels. Remember that last year we were at higher levels, lower than 20% of the EBITDA. Now we're at a different cycle, and we expect to take back that path of more profits in the medium and long term. Next question is from Carlos Rodriguez from Otro Evento. Good morning, Catherine, Carlos Ignacio, José Domingo. Thank you for your presentation. Two questions. The first one is more for the medium term, and it has to do with packing material. The trend about plastics around the world, have you thought of how you could reduce this input, and could you have some substitutes in this area without affecting profits? This is an extremely important question. At Grupo Nutresa, we're totally aware of the challenges in terms of packaging materials. Now, when we were looking at the cost components, I mentioned that the highest cost was packing materials, about 15% of the total cost. And we've been working very heavily on the strategy of circular economies. The National Association of Businessmen in Colombia just launched a pilot project of circular economy with large mass consumption companies in Colombia. Grupo Nutresa is the vice president in that project, presided by Natura, and we're doing some simulations and some something that will show us how we can manage that those packages in the future, in terms of presentation and marketing and preservation of the product, which is a food, but which is with the lowest possible environmental impact. I'm also pleased to tell you that last week we received approval for a patent with which we're going to be able to manufacture some packaging materials using products that are currently waste in coffee. So there's innovation, there are some consumption reduction topics, and we're going to go into circular economies and in packaging materials. Nutresa also was part as a representative of the business company of the Green Growth Mission for the government of Colombia last year, and we're committed to that, not only because of our business, because we truly, it has to do with all of mankind. And the needs are completely urgent for the planet, such as the possibility of reuse, reduction of plastics, especially those that can, those that are single use, are extremely prioritary for us. So this is something we're working on. Thank you for asking, Carlos. Not always do we have questions of this type in the conference, but this it's very interesting for you to have brought it up. Thank you. My second question, could you give us more details about Mexico, what the situation is like, what's the situation, how has it changed after the last presidential elections, and can you give us an idea of what the expenses have been there, because also the minimum wages went up significantly. Yes, thank you, Carlos. First of all, let me tell you that over the last couple of years have been very good for our business in Mexico. I am not going to refer to the political issues. What I'm saying there is that the companies in the private sector are favored and grow and develop when there are sound institutions and when governments see that as a source of development, as an ally for development. That's the only thing I could say about that. With respect to our actions, I would say that the demand in Mexico with food is very good, and we've been using our distribution strength for TMLC. We launched several new chocolate bars, and we also came in with the Colnap brand into the nut market in Mexico. It's a very large market. So we're just starting to travel that path of health snacks in Mexico. There's a lot of potential there. And what we've been doing is to strengthening our Mexico. Now, we previously had two organizations managed as silos, one for chocolates, another one for TMLC. And what we've been doing is to manage Mexico with a single view as a Grupo Nutresa for the entire of all categories, and that allows us to have synergies and lets us to detect opportunities. And what we're doing is to take an advantage of a platform that we have there, and that we're going to be doing it both through our cross-fertilization of categories and daring some brownfields as well, supported by the strength of that platform that would allow us to grow. So for us, it's been the last period has been pretty positive. I would say that, and I didn't say that specifically earlier, that Mexico, over the last quarter, is now 3.5% of the sales. It went up to 3.7% of sales, so it grew up 0.2% in the total sales by of Grupo Nutresa. So we're going to take advantage of the opportunity. We're still very small for such a large country like Mexico. We want to be bigger there. We are managing that humbly but ambitiously, and with a desire to grow them, taking advantage of the synergies and the positions we have. So the idea, Lidl is another brand of powdered drinks is different, more premium, and with different formulation for health and nutrition purposes. So that is our question. The answer good. Next question is from Mr. Germán Tristancho from La Vivienda. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. I have questions about the implementation of the International Reporting Standards 1620. I'd like some details about, first of all, is this implementation is going to have, because of the impact on the metrics of debt, would that lead us to rethink the use of operating leases, not only from optimizing the cost, but also from the lease rates, but also in the willingness to enter or not into this type of lease. And second, can you tell us a bit about the discount rate that you used to incorporate these leases and these assets with the right of use into the financial statements? I'll answer that question, Hernan. About the weight of the leases on total assets or liabilities of the group, especially in consumer foods, then the standard doesn't change the distribution of finances. It increases the percentage of expenses over sales. It's one of the new elements that we use constantly in the company. Purchasing the assets, it would simply put them elsewhere in the financial statements, but it wouldn't change the financial structure of the businesses. We are committed to constantly getting the best lease rates for those properties, looking for the best location. But it's the time of financial classification or location more than the change in the financial situation of the consumer foods. Consumer foods is not producing less of more cash flow or the changes in the debt. And the rate we used is the number is 6.8%. Where does that come from? It emulates what would be to getting the financing in the market, the banking in the capital market, to purchase those assets. In some cases, it would be 10 years, some even 15 years. And it's a competitive rate. Remember that the financial cost for group is 6.3%, but it's less than all of these long-term leases. So it doesn't really change the financial structure of the business, and we have a chance to improve the lease agreement. It would be because of the improved market conditions, and we find a competitive rate in the market. Thank you very much. Next question is from Mr. Daniel Guardiola from BTG. Good morning. I have a couple of questions. First of all, you spoke about the generation of operating cash, which was negative. And what is the company doing to improve its commercial cash cycle, and what can you tell us that you are currently implementing to improve that? That's the first question. The second one has to do with the composition or the structure of the board of directors, because in the General Assembly we approved a new position for the board of directors. And why was the change, and could we expect additional changes in the future? Let me take the first question, and the second will be taken by Carlos Ignacio. Indeed, there's a mention that the cash in the group is cyclical. And the first one has significant changes, working capital, labor, and tax payments. So the effect you can see in the numbers, we have a consumption of working capital of 320,000 million pesos. Compared to the end of the year, it was 120,000 million pesos. There's a cyclical nature between the end and the beginning of the year. But the second part of the question is, where are we working to improve that? First of all, we're improving the margins, and doing the margin of year to date. They have been improving year after year. Then we have the capex discipline. How we've invested less as a percentage of sales without omitting anything in the plans for the projects that will have good results and good growth in the future. First is the margin and then the capex to leave them in working capital. And there we are working, we're making an effort, trying to maintain our receivables levels. Our position is very competitive, the days of accounts receivable. And we're trying to receive the channels, and not depending on a single channel, which has some very long outstanding periods, is not good for us. And then we have changes in methodologies, effects on the entire channel, around the chain, around the raw materials we use, the switch with that, we provision raw materials, our physical inventories when we see that, when there's good profits. Otherwise, we release part of those old inventories. And the last item is the suppliers. We're doing a benchmark. We've had some even early payments, very good level of suppliers. We're not going to be changing that magnitude of the position vis-a-vis our competitors, but from one day to the next. But we're going to approach the international standards in terms of days. And we have to have, and we believe we have a long way to go. We can improve our cash flow cycle. And with respect to the second question, Daniel, thanking you for your presence in this session, I'd like to go back in history to explain this as an evolution. This company was originally Compañía Nacional de Chocolates. Previously, we had a board of directors with 5 members. Then, when we created Inversión Nacional de Chocolates and the origins of Grupo Nutresa, the board came from 5 to 7 members. And right now, this company is more than twice as big as at that time in the past. Board of directors has a corporate governance committee, and they've been working on obeying the law, and secondly, to respond to good practices have been showing in many areas. One of them is, for example, the Dow Jones Sustainability Index. The other one is the country code, and what we've seen, what that committee estimated and presented to the board of directors, is that there were several aspects that the board could be strengthened, and they have a plan for that. For example, the changes in the policies of diversity of members of the board, which was approved during the assembly this year. And another change was to include an additional member. What I could say about this is that there is a concern and an interest in the board of directors to continue to improve. And they're going to continue to review every area where they can become stronger. That was one of the aspects. They want to be more diversified and to be able to respond in every front. Appointments and retribution, sustainability, and the things that have to do with strategy and risk control. This is a change that takes place in corporations in other fora that have been asking us about the even number, but actually it's something that happens in many other corporations, and what happens in a board of directors with 8 members is that the majority is 5 votes. But that's the reason the board of directors wish to become stronger and improve, and those plans are ongoing, so that answer. Once again, our thanks for being in the conference. There are no further questions right now. I give the floor to Ms. Catherine Chacon. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for your questions and your participation. This concludes the teleconference for results for the first quarter of 2019. As always, remind you that the contact line with the Investor Relations Director is available for answering your questions and concerns. Thank you very much and have a happy day. Thank you for your participation in this event. You can now hang up.